But the other thing that I want to share with you is don't underestimate that the fear, fearing God, is that sometimes I'm afraid that God's discipline will come upon me. This is the twofold of fearing Him. That God has a fear, and the response to me is I fear Him. Why? In what sense? I fear Him as a respect and reverence of who He is. And I will try to respect His presence and not do things that are not suitable in the presence of God. But the other kind of fear that I need to fear as well, that God can place me under discipline if I did a certain things that I'm not like awakening myself. I'm not coming back to myself. I have decided to take a course, to follow a certain path, and I'm not turning back. Or I'm living in a certain sin, and I'm not judging it yet. I pray to God that He will place a sense in your soul and mind to understand what Hebrews is teaching us. It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. It's a fearful thing. God has His timing. So we have the encouragement or the comfort of Jehovah. We have the hand of our God. We have the fear of God. And in chapter 8, we have read together about the joy of the Lord is our strength. Let me dwell on this 1 second. Although there are a few things about of Him, but I want to just raise the challenge. Is it worth it to fight for it? Is it worth it to fight for Christianity? Is it worth it to contend for Christianity? I'm not talking about flesh and blood, but I'm talking about standing for the things you have learned, standing for the book, standing for the scripture. But the scripture says that in chapter 8, the joy of the Lord is your strength. So many times you might take that verse that our joy in Him. That's not it. That's not exactly it. It is the joy of the Lord is my strength. When you go to the previous chapter, and I believe it was in verse chapter 5. I want to read the verse so that I can quote it correctly. In chapter 4 and verse 10. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is what? Is decayed. Is decayed. Let me assure you of this. That when it comes to our own strength, I have to come to the conclusion that there is no strength in me. That all the burdens that they were carrying on, in the sight of the report that was given, that their strength is being what? Decayed. There's no strength in men. There's no strength in your own. So when you leave this place, don't try to do things with your own strength, with your own effort, with your own ability. It's not going to happen. Brian, I think this afternoon reminded us that it is not by resolutions that we're going to approach the new year. It's not going to happen thinking that by my own strength, I'm going to be able to read the Bible every morning. And I'm going to be able to read the Bible every night. And I'm going to be able to attend the assembly meetings and so forth and so on. Listen, it is not by your own strength. The scripture says I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I have to give Christ His rightful place in my life. And I have to allow the Spirit of God to do His work in my own soul. And it is then and only then that the strength is being provided. Listen. That joy of the Lord, when He looks at the saints of God and He sees them in tune with His thoughts, He sees them walking in the path that He has set before them. It brings joy to His heart. That's what it is. The joy of the Lord is my strength. So that if I am walking in an orderly way and God delighted to see that the saints of God are living in a way that's pleasing to Him, it's going to be a source of strength. So that you and me will not be under discipline, but we will obtain strength from God. Because when He sees a company or individuals that have a delight to please Him in this scene, He's going to provide them with strength. He's going to provide them with energy. He's going to provide them with vigor. Why? Because they are walking in a way where God could look down and say, you know what? I'm happy with this believer. The joy of Jehovah is my strength. And listen, young ones, young sister, young brothers, we have to take hold of these truths. We have to hold them dear, that we have so many resources that are of God. And the reality of it is that challenge is it worth it to contend for this book? There are three other more, but I'm going to finish with one. There are the house of God, we spoke about it. There is the law of God, and there is the commandments of the Lord. These are the things in the book of Nehemiah that are of him. But the commandments of the Lord, I'll finish with this and then challenge our hearts with the contending for it. The commandments of the Lord, so many times we take it, and I want to suggest take the Ten Commandments. And we all understand and agree that the Ten Commandments is the thrust of the law. But the law of the Lord was not only the Ten Commandments, you know. It was a way that characterized the whole realm of the life of the people of God. This is what the law of God is all about. The law of God as a general, sometimes Christians, we have this tendency to say, well, we are not under the law. Yes, amen, you're not under the law. But it is the law that was given to Moses. But you know, in Galatians, there's the law of Christ. I always ask this question because sometimes we think, well, we are in the day of grace. Oh, wonderful. And we cheapen grace. We think under the day of grace, we can do whatever we want to do. Because we're not under the law. The law has don't. And don't worship any other god. And don't steal. And love your neighbor. And blah, blah. And honor thy mother and father. And all the it has the do's and the don'ts. And we think that that's very heavy. And we claim grace in the day of grace, and we think that grace gives me the light to do whatsoever I want. Listen, as far as scripture is concerned, grace is has a greater ground than what the law ever was. When the law, Jesus spoke by his blessed words. And when he came into Matthew chapter 5, he says, the law said, thou shalt not commit what? Adultery. Right? This is what the law said. Thou shalt not commit. But what did he say after that? I'm going to ask the question to you. Which is harder to keep? Grace or the law? When the Lord Jesus says, it is written, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you. Who's saying the one? I say. The one who came to this world filled with grace and truth. The one, the grace of God has appeared unto all men, he says. But I say unto you, if you looked, listen young people, let's watch our eyes. Young ones, let's watch our eyes. But all what I'm trying to set before you, the law is a way that the whole man, the whole realm of the life of the believer should be conducted under the law of God. But the commandments were given so that the man or the woman would live in a right moral way before God. There's nothing wrong with living right morally. And young man and young sister, the encouragement for all of us is let's live morally right. Morally right before God. Let's keep things pure. Let's keep things right. We've been exhorted about the holy seed and the seed of Israel. That is to say, God is telling us, let's keep the line of testimony pure. Let's keep my life pure. That's why if I want to bring the application of the Ten Commandments, is that how a man or a woman should live morally right in the sight of God. And may the Lord help us to live right. I'm going to close with, is it worth it to contend for all these things we have heard for 2 days? Is it worth it?